Good morning. It's good to be here. It's good to have each and every one of you here with us to worship God, to open God's Word, and to study from it. I would like to thank the Church here at Terre Haute for the opportunity that they've given me to stand before you now to preach to you from God's Word. This morning I'm filling in for my dad who is away in a meeting. I ask you to please continue to keep him in your prayers and that work, that it will go well and much good will be done. I encourage you to grab your Bibles and follow along with me throughout this lesson. And as a basis for our lesson this morning, we'll begin by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk to us this morning about obtaining victory in Jesus Christ. And in this life as a Christian, we are running a race. We are fighting a fight. We are trying to obtain a prize. We're trying to win a prize. And that prize, that victory, is heaven, eternal life in heaven with God. And we obtain that victory by being obedient to God and to His Word. And the Bible sums this up very well in the book of 1 John, chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. 1 John 5, beginning with verse 3. The Bible says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And in this lesson, I want to look at the word victory, take each letter of the word, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, and suggest things that we as Christians need to do to obtain victory in Jesus. If you notice, the first letter is V, and that's where we will start. First of all, I want to point out that we need to be vigilant in order to obtain victory in Jesus. That word vigilant means keeping careful watch for possible danger, to be alert, to be awake. And we as Christians certainly need to be alert, need to be awake, because sin, which separates us from God, is everywhere around us. If you notice with me 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. The Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The Bible directly tells us here to be sober, to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is indeed walking around seeking whom he may devour. And if we are not vigilant, if we let our guard down, then we can fall prey to his schemes. He can cause us to sin by tempting us. Jesus admonishes us in Mark 13 and verse 33 to take heed, to watch, and to pray. We need to be continuing in prayer to God, asking Him to help us to remain vigilant, to keep our guard up, to remain strong, to stand strong for God, for the Bible, and to resist temptation, to resist the devil, to resist that sin. One qualification of an elder is to be vigilant. The Bible tells us this in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And verse 2, "And elders who have the role of watching over the flock certainly need to be vigilant in doing that. They are keeping watch for false teachers who may come in and destroy the flock. They are keeping watch over our souls. So they need to be vigilant in doing that. And we all should be very thankful for elders and for the work that they do. But we all need to be vigilant and watching in order to obtain victory in Jesus. But also, we need to be increasing to obtain victory. Christians should always be growing, always be increasing throughout our lives. And there are several things that we need to increase in. And I would like to mention a few of those with faith, love, our fruits of righteousness. We need to be increasing in our knowledge of God. And I would like to expound on each of these for a moment. Starting with faith, our attitude should be like the apostles. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, where they said, "Increase our faith." Their mindset was on increasing their faith. And our mindset as well needs to be on increasing our faith. And not only are we to have faith and increase it, but we need to be adding to our faith as well. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. It says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and do knowledge temperance, and do temperance patience, and do patience godliness, and do godliness brotherly kindness, and do brotherly kindness charity. So we see here that there are several things that we need to be adding to our faith, and may we always be increasing our faith as well as adding to it with these things. We also need to be increasing in our love. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12, turn with me there. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. The Bible says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." So we are told here to increase our love towards one another. We need to be increasing our love towards one another. Likewise, in the same book, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more." May we be increasing our love always towards one another. But not only just towards one another, but also to the Lord. If you look with me to Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. It says here, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." We're commanded to love the Lord with all that we have. May we be doing that and always be increasing in our love. But also we need to be increasing our fruits of righteousness. We are charged in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18 to be rich in good works, to distribute, willing to communicate. We need to be rich in good works. Philippians 1, verse 11 says, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." We need to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. And we read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, if you turn with me there. Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." We need to be increasing in all of these areas. Increasing. Be, as I said, rich in good works, filled with the fruits of righteousness, filled with these good works, and be increasing in these always. And then we need to be increasing our knowledge of God. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 tells us that we can escape the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of the Lord. 2 Peter 1 and verse 2 tells us that we can have grace and peace through the knowledge of God. Two great reasons why we need to have the knowledge of God, but not just have it, but also be increasing, so that we can have that escape from the pollutions of this world, so that we can have the grace and peace. And in order to have knowledge, to increase our knowledge, that implies study. That implies opening the Bible and studying it and meditating upon it always. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Study to show thyself approved unto God. May we always be doing this and increasing our knowledge of God so that we can have victory in Jesus. But continuing on in our lesson, we also need to be courageous to obtain victory in Jesus. Being courageous, or having courage, is showing strength in the face of pain or danger, having mental or moral strength to persevere and withstand danger or difficulty. And I would like to look at some examples of people in the Bible who had courage, who took courage. First of all, let's look at Joshua. Joshua led the people into the promised land and conquering the promised land. And the Lord instructed him in Joshua 1 and verse 7 to be strong and very courageous, as well as many other places in the book of Joshua, telling him to be strong and very courageous. And just as Joshua was a leader and he was strong and very courageous of all of those people, we too need to be leaders today as Christians, and in so doing, be very courageous and be strong, knowing that God is with us. But also, a good example is King Asa, who is told in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 7 and 8, to be strong, and let not your hands be weak, for your work will be rewarded. And when he heard these words, he took courage and put away the idols of the land. We too need to have the same courage to put away the idols of this land, if you will, to put away those things that are contrary to God's word. Another good example would be Paul. Paul certainly took courage on his travels for the Lord, didn't he? The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 28 and verse 15 in the latter part that he took courage. And it would certainly take courage to travel across the world and to preach the gospel. It would certainly take courage to preach the gospel in a city, to be stoned for it, taken out of the city and left for dead, and then to rise up and to go back into the city and to continue on preaching. The Bible tells us that Paul did this in Acts chapter 14, verses 19 through 21. We need to have that exact same courage, willing to do all that the Lord says, no matter what it takes. We need to have the courage to stand for God and to stand against the devil, to stand against the world, the temptations, and false teachers. So we need to be courageous. But not only that, we also need to be transformed in order to obtain victory in Jesus. And that idea of being transformed is to be changed in form, to be changed in appearance or character. If you turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We cannot allow ourselves to be conformed to this world. That is, taking part in the sinful acts of this world, of the carnal things of this world, but rather be transformed, be changed, if you will, to being a Christian, to doing what is right, to following God and doing His will. When we become a Christian, we change from an old man to a new man. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. The Bible tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if you read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through 32, you will read about where the Bible tells us to put away things, such as lying, stealing, corrupt communication, bitterness, wrath, and malice. Put away those things. And as a new man, we are to put on righteousness, holiness, truth, working, giving, edification, kindness, and forgiveness. That is, when we are baptized, when we become a Christian, we are to put away the old man, bury the old man, do away with him and these sinful things that we have been doing in our past, and be transformed, if you will, to rise up to walk in newness of life as a new man, putting on these righteous things, these good things that we have just listed. Changing from doing wrong to doing right, being transformed. We also need to be transformed from serving sin to serving God. In the book of Romans, chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. It says, But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Just as it says here, we too need to be changed, be transformed from serving sin to being servants of righteousness. And repentance is a big part of being transformed, because repentance is a change of mind resulting in a change of action. And when we transform from the old man to the new man in Christ through baptism, we will repent, change from our sins in our lives, and rise up walk according to God's will. So may we be transformed. May we be Christians doing what is right, following God and His word, and only God and His word. But also, we need to be obedient to obtain victory in Jesus. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll look at verses 17 and 18. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Two good questions are asked here in these two verses. In the latter part of verse 17, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Latter part of verse 18, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Well, brethren, I suggest to you that if we are not obedient to God, then we have no hope of going to heaven. We have no hope of eternal salvation. But on the other hand, those who do obey, those who are obedient to God and to His word and are doing what is right, they do have hope of heaven. They do have hope of eternal salvation. Sadly, though, there are those who do obey, who are baptized, but then eventually fall away. And we cannot allow that to happen. We must continue to remain obedient, to remain faithful unto death. Just as Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 tells us, where it says in the latter part, "Remain thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." We should be as the Israelites in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 7, where they said, "All that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient." What a great attitude, one that we should have, being willing to say, "All that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient." Likewise, in Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23, God commanded, "Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you." May we be obedient. And always remember that eternal salvation is certainly possible through Christ to all of those who obey Him. Hebrews 5, 8, 9. Continuing on, in order to obtain victory in Jesus, we also need to be ready. That word ready suggests being prepared, being equipped. And there are several things the Bible talks about that we need to be ready for. I will list a few of those, starting with, we should be ready to preach the gospel. If you turn to Romans chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul is speaking here. He says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." What a great example, one that we need to follow. Paul was ready to preach the gospel, and we too need to always be ready to preach the gospel. But we also need to be ready to give an answer. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, if you look at verse 15, the Bible tells us here, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Being ready to give an answer, that implies studying, that implies increasing our knowledge of God and His Word, as we've talked about already. We need to be studying so that we have that knowledge of the Bible, so that we can give an answer to those who confront us with questions about our faith, who ask us why we do what we do, or ask us about the hope that we have in heaven. And we need to be ready to give an answer to them. We also need to be ready to distribute and minister to the saints. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. It says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many." Then likewise in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18, it says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Ready to distribute. We need to be ready to help those saints who are in need, and that implies work. We need to be working so that we have to give to those who are in need. So may we be doing that so we are ready to help those who are in need. But also, we need to be ready to every good work. The book of Titus, chapter 3, and verse 1, it tells us this. It says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." And then we need to be ready for the Lord's return. Turn with me to 2 Peter, chapter 3. Second Peter 3, verses 12 through 14. "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless." We need to be ready for the Lord's return. And we need to be ready for all of these things. And the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25 teaches us the need to be ready. In that parable, there are 10 virgins. 10 were said to be wise, and five of them were said to be wise, and five of them were said to be foolish. The five that were wise were said to be wise because they had made preparation. They were ready. They had taken oil, and they had taken their lamps when they went to meet the bridegroom. But on the other hand, the five foolish were not ready. They were not prepared. So when the bridegroom came, they did not have enough oil. Therefore, they had to go buy some, and when they came back, the door was already shut, and they could no longer enter. May we be like the five wise who were ready, who were prepared, because we do not know when the Lord will come. We do not know when judgment will come. So we must always be ready. And then finally, in order to obtain victory in Jesus, we must yield. We must yield. To yield is to surrender, relinquish, submit, to cease resistance. And in order to be victorious on the last day, we must yield to God. The book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 13 tells us this. Romans 6 verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So we need to be yielding to God. And we need to change from yielding to uncleanness and iniquity to yielding to righteousness and holiness. In the same book, Romans chapter 6, verse 19 this time, it says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. So we need to yield to righteousness and holiness. We sing in our psalm books, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. And we certainly cannot allow ourselves to yield to temptation. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 is a comforting verse when it tells us that God will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able, but will rather provide us a way of escape. And we cannot surrender or give in, yield to that temptation, but rather look for that way of escape. Just as Joseph did when he fled and got him out to avoid sin with Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39 and verse 12. We must relinquish our desires and our lusts and surrender to God and to His will. So won't you do that this morning? We've looked at seven things we need to be doing to be victorious in the end. That is to be vigilant, increasing, to be courageous, to be transformed, to be obedient, to be ready, and to yield to God. Won't you obey now by believing the word of the Lord which you have heard this morning, John 8:24, repenting of your sins, Luke 13 and verse 3, confessing, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8:37, being baptized, Acts 2 verse 38, and living faithfully unto God until death, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Maybe you've already taken these steps, but you have fallen away from the Lord. Come back. We urge you to come back by repenting of your sins and praying to God for forgiveness so that you too will be ready for the Lord's return. Remember that we do not know when that return will be. We do not know what a day may bring forth, and we must always be ready. So do not wait. Do not wait. And always remember that there is indeed victory in Jesus if we are obedient to God and to His word. Won't you come now while we stand and sing the invitation song?